But we begin with jobs and the economy, which Mitt Romney and President Obama frequently remind us are the issues of the 2012 presidential race. The loss of an estimated 3 million manufacturing jobs since 2000 has carved a deep hole in the American economy. Many manufacturing jobs have gone overseas, taking a toll on the middle-class wages that once anchored the economy. Slate.com's Matthew Iglesias has some ideas about bolstering America's manufacturing jobs numbers. He proposes adding fast food workers to the assembly line class. Matthew, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
America doesn't make stuff anymore. That's what we often hear about the sad state of manufacturing. What's your response to that statement?
Well, you know, there's a number of responses, but one thing that I was looking at recently is to say that, you know, we might want to broaden our horizons of what really counts as making stuff and what, you know, what do we really care about when we think about that kind of thing.
So how does fast food fit in here?
Well, one way it fits in is I think people don't necessarily know how the government statistics operate. And if you go to the sort of the freezer aisle of your supermarket and, you know, you pick out a frozen dinner there and you take it home and you microwave it, the guys who made that meal, they count as manufacturing workers. But if you go to McDonald's on the way home and you get a burger there, that counts as the service sector. So, you know, when you're thinking about the world, you have to ask yourself, I mean, is it really so different? Is it a huge problem if more people are getting meals at restaurants and fewer people are getting things out of cans? It seems to me that's probably not really the distinction people care about.
That's distinction between manufacturing and services. That's an officially assigned bureaucratic classification. So this really isn't an academic exercise you're getting at here.
Right. I mean, you know, the government divides up the economy into a number of different kinds of statistical categories. And it's good that they do that. I mean, it's good that we have statistics. But oftentimes, the distinctions that get drawn are a little bit arbitrary.
How many jobs are we talking about in the fast food sector? Do we have an estimation of that?
Well, we don't know exactly how many because we don't know what kind of restaurants it is that people are working at. But food service is one of those sort of fastest growing sectors over the past several decades, and millions of people work in it.
So what would adding those numbers, what would that mean to manufacturing today?
Well, you know, I don't think it means anything for manufacturing today, but it has an impact on how we think about policy going forward, on what is it that we think is valuable about manufacturing, what do we care about it, which I think has to do with the existence of scale, the ability to apply technology to things, and it should have implications for what we think about public policy.
Well, on that point, the reason that manufacturing jobs were and have been instrumental to the growth of the middle class, especially in the 20th century, is that they offered an opportunity. They offered growth, going up the ladder, salaries and benefits that could support a family. Is that there for the fast food sector?
Well, to some extent it is, and to some extent it isn't. You know, but one thing that I try to say in the piece is that the stereotype of the so-called Mick job
right.
is in many ways misleading, and that, you know, if you look at the economy as a whole has changed in some ways that have been difficult for working people and have made it a little bit harder to gain upward mobility. But the food service sector is actually an area where you still have a lot of that, that many of the top executives in McDonald's started as line workers there, that at Chipotle, the managers are 95% promoted from within, from people who started working in the restaurants. And that's actually a real contrast from something like the financial services sector. You know, the CEO of Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan and Bank of America, those aren't people who started as bank tellers.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas you have that in food. It's more of a place where people can work their way up. Of course, most people don't work their way up. It is a narrowing pyramid, but the opportunities exist there.
This is an idea coming at a time when concern about food sources and opposition to quote-unquote factory food is building. It's vocal. It's pretty adamant. Would classifying fast food jobs as manufacturing make that a deeper divide?
Well, you know, I mean, in some ways it does. There's a lot of sort of hostility toward bringing large scale into the agricultural world. But at the same time, I think people should think about, you know, what is it that they're really objecting to? You know, a lot of people have concerns about animal cruelty. Those are concerns that I share. That's different from saying, you know, we have concerns about doing things at large scale or about chains and repetition. And of course, you have it in the manufacturing domain as well, right? I mean, there's a certain appeal to artisanal products, to things that are handcrafted, handmade. But there's also enormous appeal in terms of the economic efficiency that you get in factories and you get with standardized production. And I think food's no different.
I'm questioning how this might play into the political conversations about manufacturing. I mean, would there be any pride in claiming that blank 100,000 new fast food manufacturing jobs have been added to the jobs report.
No, you know, I mean, it doesn't sound that good for a political candidate to say, but it makes me think about policy ideas that, for example, we had an idea from the Obama administration as part of their proposed corporate income tax reform to give sort of special tax credits to companies that fit in the manufacturing classification. And I think you have to ask yourself, I mean, does it really make sense to levy extra taxes on cooks and restaurants in order to create a subsidy for factories? It's not totally clear to me that it does, particularly because some food making jobs, I mean, this is the point I want to make, do count as manufacturing, right? Mm. That if you're packaging food to put in a store, that is manufacturing. But if you're making food for someone in a restaurant, that's not manufacturing. And I don't think you want to create cross-subsidy from one form of that activity into the other, that we should treat it as on a par. I mean, it's fine to maintain the statistical separation, but in terms of taxes and subsidies, I don't think that, you know, waitresses should be paying for people who make cans of beans or the like.
Intriguing thought, and thanks so much for joining us, Matthew.
Thank you.
Matthew Iglesias, he's business and economics correspondent for Slate.com and also author of The Rent is Too Damn High.